Hey, this is Chris Brown. This episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit Vanderblumen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends. Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and we are honored that you are tuning in. God, we come to you right now. We're asking for you to speak to us in a powerful way. God, our desire is that you would trust us even more. Your scripture says that those who have been trusted with little and been faithful with little, well, you can trust us with much more. And we want to be that for you. We want to be people that you can trust with more. Not because you need us, but just because you love us and you trust us. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, this is a call-in show, 866-357-3283. 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Again, that's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. You'll be calling in with your stewardship questions. You've got real-life situations that are happening every day, maybe in your life, maybe in a family member's life, maybe a friend's life, and you're just curious what the Bible has to say about the particular situation. So call in, and we'll chat. This first call comes in from Fort Lauderdale. This is Karen. Karen, how you doing?
I am doing good, Chris. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help you?
Well, I have a quick question for you. I have an account that's in collections. It's been there for over a year, and I really don't know what to do. When the debt occurred, I was told something. It's an insurance debt that dealt with a medical issue that I had, and it's a small amount of $1,000. Mm-hmm. And they had told me that, you know, my insurance company had said, all you have to do is pay your copayment, everything else will be covered. And I went to the emergency room. 2 months later, I get a bill for $1,000. I tried to dispute it with them. I explained to them that's not what I was told. And they kept on giving me, you know, stories. I finally sent it to a dispute center. They sent me back a couple of lines saying that you will be held responsible for this. Mm-hmm. And I tried to settle it, and no one would settle. So I just let it go. And now it's been in collections for over a year. It has lowered my FICO score. People are telling me not to pay it. Your score has already been lowered. Just sit it through. And I don't know what to do at this point. So what can I do?
Well, obviously, you don't believe that you should pay it.
I don't. I really don't think they were honest with me. They lied to me over and over and over.
Oh, so you can't. So let me ask you something. Can you see it from, even though you don't agree, can you see what they're seeing? I mean, can you see their point of view? Do they feel like they provided a service for you that they have not been compensated for, whether it's your either you haven't compensated them or the insurance agency hasn't compensated them, but they feel like they have not been compensated? Do you feel that? Can you see that from their angle?
I could see that, but I did pay the copayment of going to the emergency room. They did tell me, my insurance company said, that's all you have to pay. Everything is covered by your insurance.
Yeah.
And I made sure I told them, you know, I asked about that before I went. Even before I got the bill, you know, which was 2 months later, I told my friends, oh, I don't have to pay anything. My copayment covered everything.
Right.
My brother asked me about it. I said, oh, no, they told me. Everything is covered. Then I get this bill 2 months later, and I explained to them, I said, find those phone calls. You know, you said that your phone calls are recorded. That's what you told me.
Very, very frustrated.
I was very upset.
Yeah. What is your income, Karen?
Well, I'm a teacher. I make around $48,000 a year.
Okay. And this reduced FICO score, is it messing some stuff up for you right now?
Well, I have no debt. That's the only thing that's on my report. I was thinking about getting a car in the future, and I had called around, and that score is really low.
Yeah.
You know, it was way over 700. It was over 700, and now this has put a damper on it.
Yeah. Well, this is something that I hear a lot. You're not the only person that's involved in this kind of thing. It's very, very frustrating. And quite frankly, I don't know what to tell you outside of you don't have like documentation. I know you were counting on the recordings. Other than what you're doing and calling and trying to be proactive, that's usually my advice, is to be proactive and kind of tackle it head on. And it sounds like you got a real level head about it. As far as I'm sure you've gotten to this point of frustration, I can hear in your tone, after a lot of level headedness. And now you're kind of, it's all kind of coming to a head. But here's the deal with the FICO score. I don't care about FICO scores personally, because I don't plan on ever borrowing again. And I try to teach people to not be so wrapped up in the FICO score. My prayer for you, Karen, is that when you go to buy a car one day, that you'll be doing that in cash and you won't care. And you'll actually laugh at the FICO score system trying to control you. But here's the deal. On a spiritual side, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:5, it is better to make a vow, to not make a vow, than to make a vow and not fulfill it, is what it says. And here's the deal. If you feel like you are not in the wrong, you did not say you were going to pay something that you have not paid, I would not pay it. And I would let it sit there. Yeah. However, you've got to be okay with the FICO score being hit. I don't think it's going to be hit anymore. I think the way it works is it goes to collections and you get nailed. But after that, it's not, once it's like 1 year late, 2 years late, I don't think it goes lower. I don't know that for sure. But and you just continue to go after the remedy if it's something that you need closure on. But I don't want you to be so in bondage to the FICO score, because my goal would be that you would not have to lean on the FICO score in the future. So and if you were at 750 or seven in the 700s, this probably only hurt you about 40 or 50 points, right?
Well, it wasn't, it was probably just a little bit over 700. So it's probably 100 points that it dropped.
Wow. That's insane. Something's wrong there. I guess that'd be my one thing, that you'd only focus on what you can control. You can either just pay it and get closure on it and say, you know what, whatever. It's just the way the cookie crumbles. And within 30 days, it'll probably be off of there. I wouldn't count on that. I would make sure I proactively, seek them out and say, hey, listen, this is paid. I want to make sure this is off. And if you are proactive on that and you show documentation, then you have it off there within weeks.
Just a quick thing. I had done some reading when I was investigating this, and they've stated that once you have a collections, it will always show up on your FICO score, no matter what. They can read into it, and they can see that something was sent to collections.
Yeah, it'll improve your score in 30 days if you call them. I'm not really sure about that, whether it stays on there once it goes to collections. But as I've done research on this over the last couple of years to find out what the latest is, I've not personally read that, but everything I read, I don't know if it, I guess maybe there's a difference between if it's gone to collections or it hasn't.
Right.
But most of what I read, generally speaking, if you call and say it's been settled, it shows a different status. It shows paid. But just because it went to collections and it's paid, that will improve your score. It might not improve it all the way back to where it was, but it will make an improvement.
Okay. All righty. Great.
So,
well, thank you so much for your insight.
I wish I could make it all better for you, like today, like on the spot. My heart wants to make it all better. But in this scenario, that's why I love not having to worry about FICO in my life anymore.
Right.
That's my prayer for everybody.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yes.
And I will keep that definitely in mind. Thank you
good.
So much.
Thank you, Karen.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Hey, when I was an executive pastor, I used Vander Blumen's search group to help me find church leaders to join our church. As the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations, Vander Blumen prayerfully comes alongside your team to guide you through the search process and bring you great candidates that fit your church's needs. And actually, they connected Dave Ramsey with me. Because of their ministry, I am able now to serve and use my passions to spread the message of stewardship to the local church. Visit vanderbloemen.com for more information. That's Vander, BLOEMEN.com. Well, we got a quick shout out to Miley Anderson on Twitter. She wrote, just wanted to compliment you and the team on the podcast. I enjoy the content and find it very helpful. Very, very kind, Miley. That was very encouraging when I read that. It was, maybe 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and it was a time where I really needed it. And so thank you so much for engaging on Twitter. Those of you who haven't yet, we'd love for you to join the community, Chris Brown On Air, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Well, this next call comes in from Long Beach, California, all the way across the other side of the country. This is Jonathan. Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm well, Chris. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can I help?
Well, I'm hoping you can help settle the debate my wife and I are having centered around baby step 3B.
Uh-oh.
Cue
the drum roll.
My wife and I, we're in our late 30s. We have 3 young kids. We're about to complete baby step 3 around the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
We have a household income of about $190K per year. Currently, we only have about $60K in retirement savings. To get to this point, we've stopped our 401k investing altogether for the last 2 years. We just had a baby. We want to upgrade to a bigger house. So in order to get the house that we were looking for, the type of house that we're looking for, if we forego our 401k investing for another 2 to 3 years, coupled with the equity that we're going to have from the sale of our current house, we'll be able to get the house that we want. But the question is it worth doing it for another 2 to 3 years, or should we hold off? And FYI, my wife, she wants the best of both worlds. She wants a big house, and she wants to start investing in the 401k. So
and all in California too.
Yes, correct.
Well, so, Jonathan, let's recap the baby steps for all of our listeners. That's a lot of baby step talk. And if you're new to Financial Peace University, baby step 1 is to make sure that you put a starter emergency fund of $1,000 away in a money market account. Baby step 2 is to pay off all your consumer debt or all your non-mortgage debt in a debt snowball that we talk about. Baby step 3 is to fully fund that emergency fund to 3 to 6 months of expenses. And baby step 4, what Jonathan's talking about, is starting to invest 15% of your household income towards long-term retirement. And so the question is, do we continue to save for a down payment and hold off on investing, or do we do the investing now, or do we do some kind of hybrid of both? How much are you guys planning on putting down?
We want to do 20%, and that's what we're looking for, too.
How long is that going
to
take?
To be able to avoid the PMI. Well, about if we go at this current rate, I project it'll be about another 2, maybe 3 years to be able to put the full 20% down.
Yeah. How long
on
did you say?
The other 2 years that we haven't been investing in the 401k.
Well, for me, that's the magic number is, I was going to say 24 months. I would do 3B before baby step 4, but obviously linear thought, step 3 before 4, but I wouldn't prolong step 4 longer than 24 months. So that would be that my big threshold is 2 years. So I'm okay with you putting it off. You want that compound interest working for you as soon as possible. So 24 months is kind of the farthest that I would push it off. And maybe it's possibly meet in the middle. Does either one of your companies do any matching?
Both of ours do, which makes it a little bit more painful to say no to.
What is the matching? How much up to how much?
Mine does 6%. My wife's, I'm not sure.
Okay, so let's just say hers is 3. Then maybe it's just you do 6 and 3, and you take advantage of that doubling your money, and do 9, and you meet in the middle.
Okay, so but just go up to the match, and then the
and then just
put down for the down payment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm making 190. You guys should be able to do both on this. I'm with her on you can do both. There's somewhere else you can shave on that big income, and she's making me a little nervous with the comment big house. So just remember, not too much house. 15-year mortgage,
correct?
Payment no more than 25% of your take home pay.
Yes.
All righty, Jonathan.
I mean, right now we're in a smaller house in an area that's not that great. But as you know, in Southern California, it's pretty expensive no matter where you go.
Yeah.
But that's the other kicker. We're trying to get a house that's not too much for us, to keep it within the range of what Dave Ramsey talks about, which is 25% of your take-home pay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and folks listening in, 190, it sounds huge and a lot, but it's not quite as much in Long Beach. But it's
exactly.
It's a nice salary. There's no mistaking about it, but it's not it's not as big as it sounds. So, no, it's going to take some patience. It's not going to happen overnight, but my goal would be I would do 24 months would be my deal.
Okay, so for 24 months from this point forward.
Yeah, and if you guys are halfway through and you're like 12 months in, you're like, oh man, I'm really feeling the tension. I really feel like then maybe it's meet in the middle and do the matching.
Yeah. Okay.
All righty. Well, you appreciate the call.
I'm good. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye bye. All right, folks. Speaking of real estate, if you've been thinking about buying a home, you know how easy it is to get carried away in the excitement. You kind of heard that from Jonathan's wife there. We want a bigger house, right? Sounds like they're not too off, but there's definitely some excitement when it comes to buying a home. I saw it firsthand when I worked in real estate. Clients walk through countless open houses until finally they walk through the door and their faces light up and they know this is the one. But here's the deal. Buying a home is one of the biggest financial decisions you will ever make. That's why it's so important to find the right agent, someone with the heart of a teacher, and somebody you can trust. Our Endorsed Local Provider Program offers you access to real estate agents in the top 5% in the nation. They have the knowledge and the experience to get you the best price on your future home. So if you're ready to start the buying process, go to stewardship.com, get connected with their real estate ELP today. And if you've just started thinking about buying, maybe not quite there yet, but just thinking about it, I'm saying I want to learn a little bit more, be sure to download a copy of our home buyer guide that's right there at stewardship.com. You don't want to have to worry about the details of the sale while you're planning your life in this new home. So learn more, get started with our ELPs today at stewardship.com.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. We're grateful for what God has done and the progress that you are making as part of our stewardship family. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now back to Chris Brown.
This is an email from Brandon. It says, hey, Chris and the whole stewardship team, I want to start by saying I listen to almost every podcast. So do I. Sometimes I miss a day or two, but I always binge listen to catch up. I really enjoy the Bible's take on common subjects, and your show is a refreshing 25 minutes of the day. So here's my question. I have a 401k and a Roth IRA. With my wife as a beneficiary on both. If something were to happen to me before our retirement age, what happens to the funds? Would my wife have to leave them alone until she reaches retirement age? Would she roll them over to her own IRA? Would she have to pay taxes on the 401k funds? How does all that work? Thanks again for your ministry. You're helping us all become better every day. Well, Brandon, regarding the 401k, she will have the option of rolling that over to her 401k, either a new one or an existing inheritance account that's in her name, or she can leave the account in her name too. If the account is rolled over, the account will continue as if it had always been in her name all along, so she won't feel any kind of differences. So that 401k is a little bit smoother than the Roth. The Roth, yes, any amounts remaining in your Roth IRA at your death will be paid to her as well. But possibly she might have to pay taxes depending on when she takes the distributions. So you want to make sure you check with your investment professional, tax professional about that. But she will not have to pay any kind of 10% early distribution penalty at all. That does not apply to beneficiaries. So taxes maybe, the distribution, early distribution penalty, a no. Well, next on the line from Jacksonville, we've gone from Florida to California, back to Florida. We've got Casey on the line calling in from Jacksonville. Casey, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm better every day. Now, you wrote us an email, if I'm understanding this right. I remember reading it a little while ago, and it was kind of a giving story, how God's worked in your life through generosity.
Right.
And I wanted to get you on the line and wanted you to share a little bit about that, because I felt like, as I read the email, that there was some teaching moments or some teaching things that we can leverage with your email. So share the story with us.
Yeah, sure. Long story short, a couple of weeks ago, I was just scrolling on Facebook, and I saw one of the ministries that we've supported in the past over in Uganda. There was a sick child over there that had a growth on him and just needed a operation to take care of it, $600. Now, here I'm thinking that we're in the United States of America. Now, $600 is a lot of money, but for an operation, that's pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
We do a zero-based budget every month, my wife and I do, and it wasn't our budget to give that amount. But I just felt God tugging on my heart, hey, you need to do something. Now, not the whole thing. I'm not calling you to do the whole thing. That's the important part there to me. He wasn't calling us to do it all. But no, we're talking, and it's not budgeted this month to do it. But I just felt like we needed to do something. I said, okay, we'll do something. So we settled on a number. And after we settled on it, not 2 hours later, my wife's dentist appointment got canceled. She sends me a text that's been canceled, the exact amount that God had told us to give.
Mm, that is so cool. Now,
no more, no less, but that amount.
The exact amount, right.
Yeah.
Those of you listening in, you hear that story. And there's going to be a portion of you listening in that are like, yes, that's happened to me before. It might have been $14. It might have been $300. It might have been, in my case, I had one of those scenarios that was in the thousands. And there's another portion of you that your finite mind is trying to explain that away. You're just, because of our human flesh, we can't even understand that. Like, oh, it's just circumstance. It just happened. It's just coincidence. Casey, you know it's not coincidence, don't you?
Right, because I mean, we have a fully funded emergency fund. We could have written a check for the whole thing, but that's not what God called us to do.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't call us to do the whole thing. He called us to be faithful with this amount of what he's blessed us with. Here, give it. And he knew that dentist appointment was going to be canceled because for whatever reason. But the dentist called her. We didn't call the dentist. He had it all orchestrated out. And a wise man I once heard say, being intentioned for ministry is nothing without being positioned for ministry.
Well played, well played. I love it. Very good stuff. Hey, listen, Casey, have you ever regretted being generous?
Absolutely not.
No, no. We're called as stewards to be generous, and we appreciate you modeling that for us and sharing your story. And folks, God is working all around us. Sometimes it's that obvious. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just another level of peace. Sometimes it's just another level of comfort. Maybe it's you turn down the road going to the left, and there you could have gone left or straight to get to your destination, but there was an accident straight ahead, and he told you to turn left. You never turn left. We have these things happen all the time. Sometimes we give God credit. Sometimes we don't. But if you're ever wondering whether you should give God credit or not, just err by giving him credit. He's not going to get up there in heaven and say, good job, well done, faithful servant, but you shouldn't have given me credit these three times. He's not going to do that. So Casey, I have absolutely no doubts that this was God. And thank you so much for kind of stretching our faith in this area. Well, we appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Chris. You have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, I got an email from Australia. Ashley, she says, we're incredibly blessed in Australia to receive free health care. Our college debts are covered by interest-free government loans and are heavily subsidized by the government in the first place. And our employer is legally bound to put a minimum 9.5% into retirement fund. We call it superannuation. She goes, however, I've made some bad decisions recently, kind of overstretched our budget, and I just owe around $5,000 to family members for a car repair bill and about $18,000 on a car loan that I swear I'll never do again. And I've never really had that emergency fund. I've been hearing about the baby steps and want to share them with my wife so we can plan to tackle this together. So I'm wondering, is Financial Peace University applicable to the Australian situation? Is there any way to do Financial Peace University without attending a class? Or would you recommend us to go through and use some of your books and resources? So the answer to that, and you might be in a situation, not in Australia, but in a situation where you're like, I don't know if that applies to my situation or if this does. Maybe you're listening in from another country and there's some things that don't work. My prayer is that you would get the scriptural backbone behind the baby steps, that you would get that we are to have a budget. We're to have a plan. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That you would have a passion to run away from debt. Because Proverbs 22:7 says that the borrower is enslaved to the lender. So baby steps, if a couple of them don't work over in Australia, I bet you they probably do. Based on what you've told me here, it still does. You're just having some retirement that's being done for you, a little bit out of order, but shoot, that's bonus. But the money that's put into your hands, you need to do the baby steps. Folks, don't forget to visit stewardship.com and click on Find an ELP to get started with a real estate agent in your area. So no matter where you're listening in, whatever country, whatever continent, we are so honored that you've tuned in. God bless.